have you ever been swooped by a magpie? With nesting season here, it might be difficult to believe you can actually make friends with these black and white terrors. But I have Professor Gisela Kaplan from the University of New England on the line to tell us more about this very clever bird.
I'm glad you modified the word terror. It doesn't have a good sound in Australian debate at the moment. So they're actually very peaceful and lovable birds, and for 11 months of the year they're also very well behaved. Now there's a real divide in Australia between the city and country, and I mean also to include urban, semi-rural area or fringes of cities, have very different experience with magpies than those who come across them in the city. And the reason is very clear. You see, we're taking more and more of their space, and they end up having to build their nests in parks and amongst a lot of people they don't know. But when they nest, put their nest up, let's say, anywhere on the fringe where people have backyards and they live there, the magpies actually assess the kind of risks they are likely to have in putting their nest where they are going to put it. And if they deem the people okay, they will build their nest there, so they will never swoop those people.
Okay,
so that's true of something like 80% of Australians will never get swooped by a magpie, and in fact, many of them do develop friendships over the years because the magpies, if they have a good territory and there's not another group coming along that contests the territory, they can stay there for 20, even 30 years.
Wow. So, okay. How can you, is there something that you can do to make magpies feel more comfortable around you?
Well, in these private properties, you can either be part of the furniture, so to speak, and you have absolutely no interaction with the magpies. You just watch them, they watch you, but there's no contact. So that's one option, and they don't swoop. So it's a very passive, almost anonymous thing, but over the years, it almost passively develops into friendship, and then magpies begin to say, well, look, we are nesting in your property, and we're going to introduce our youngsters to you, and they bring them to the back porch, and literally formally introduce them. So that's usually the first sign that they're willing to interact, and some people feed them, and that certainly is a very convincing way of saying, look, we mean you well. And in smaller backyards, if they know you are harmless or kind, they will repay you in kind.
Okay, so can you tell them personal experiences where that, you know, where that has happened?
Well, in my personal experience, they're threefold. I've hand-raised and rescued magpies for over Lord knows how many decades. And I've also studied them formally, means had no personal relationship with them, and we had them on our property. And in those cases where they were on the property, they not only interacted in a way that showed they didn't mind me being there, but I had a magpie that kept helping me in my gardening efforts and tried to mimic my behaviour and walk next to me. And when I took a little bit of soil up, the magpie did the same thing and walked all along and looked very important and very busy. And when they also come to the back door, and one of them regularly came into the house and looked around, and not flying into the house, walking gingerly and looking around, and then resting on one chair and watching me type on the computer. I simply said hello, and it said hello back. It also learned to mimic human words. So, and then it watched me on the computer and the keyboard, and I had to get up and do a little bit of a phone call, came back, and there was the magpie sitting at my computer, gently tapping on the keys and then looking very importantly also at the results on the screen. So these interactions are quite remarkable. And I've learned just recently of a story of a guy who was using his little hand mower in the backyard, and he had been friends with magpies for years, and they came to the back veranda regularly when he had his afternoon tea and all of that sort of thing, and suddenly they swooped and attacked him. And he thought, well, that's a bit much. I thought we were friends. And eventually he looked down and he realised there was a king brown snake. Now, had he walked another step, it could have bitten him. And the magpies were trying desperately to make him aware of the danger. So the magpies actually tried to help him. So that was another interaction that can occur, that magpies actually try to protect the person who has become a good friend.
So I mean, how clever are they then? Like, how can you, I guess, quantify that?
Well, they're very. This is very important, actually. I'm glad you asked that, Eleanor, because up to recently, we thought birds look at us anonymously as we look at them anonymously. That means we can't distinguish individual birds necessarily when we walk along. It's just a bird or a species. But we've learned since that magpies can distinguish faces, and they will remember them. And they will also remember people's clothing, and this has good and bad sides to it. The good side is when they remember a person's been kind to them, they will always be kind to that person. But they also remember if somebody threw a stone, or in one case I had a guy with a baseball bat getting onto a magpie. Well, that person became enemy number one, and even years later when he visited the same area, the magpies were still there and said, "What are you doing here again?" And they didn't just swoop, they attacked. And that was in their own minds the assessment of risk, that he was a dangerous individual who had to be fought by any means. So, you know, the memory, this cognitive ability to recognize and remember faces, plus the long-term memory to remember this over the years and draw conclusions from through their own behavior, is actually mind-boggling in terms of the cognitive ability that that an animal needs we need to pull this off, so to speak.
Okay, so, I mean, wow, but, like, okay, are there other birds that are as clever as magpies?
Well, we know of ravens, and we know of some cockatoos, but we haven't formally tested many of these things. In fact, there is such a shortage of studies of bird behaviour and bird intelligence in Australia that I had to write a whole introductory book on it, The Bird Mind, and it came out last year. But the whole point is that Australian birds are very cooperative, very family-oriented, and 95% of all Australian species have partners, and very often they raise their offspring together, and many of them are lifelong, and then they live an enormously long time, something like four times longer than the European counterparts. So the thought is that in general, probably birds in Australia are on average far more intelligent than the overseas counterparts.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. But, yeah,
well,
thank you very, very much.
That you stay together for a long time and have these strong bonds and defend each other. You also have to learn to communicate, you know. And if you raise your young and you protect them well, then it allows the brain to grow and it reduces stress, and that makes for a better brain. So all these things hang together somehow. We haven't quite worked out the theory of it, but that's in the ballpark of the possible biological explanations. But they are extremely clever, and that they can relate to us as individual people, as Joe, who is a nice guy, and Jenny, who is lovely. And in one example, you know, there was Emma, who lived across the road, and she had been called every morning. She was a friend of the other one. The magpie, when Emma died, the magpie sat on the on that fence and called Emma every morning.
All righty, well, we're going to have to leave it there. See you later. Okay, so that was Professor Gazella Kaplan.